हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 49, Chapter 6. Suta Goswami continued, "From that Omkara, Lord Brahma created all the sounds of the alphabet, the vowels, consonants, semi-vowels, sibilants, and others, distinguished by such features as long and short measure. All-powerful Brahma made use of this collection of sounds to produce from his four faces the four Vedas, which appeared together with the sacred Omkara and the seven Vyahriti invocations. His intention was to propagate the process of Vedic sacrifice according to the different functions performed by the priests of each of the four Vedas." Right? Because the four Vedas are there, but they're all together as one. Does that make sense? Brahma taught these Vedas to his sons, who are great sages among the Brahmanas and expert in the art of Vedic recitation. They in turn took the role of acharyas and imparted the Vedas to their own sons. In this way, throughout the cycles of four ages, generation after generation of disciples, all firmly fixed in their spiritual vows, have received these Vedas by disciplic succession. At the end of each Dwapara Yuga, the Vedas are edited into separate divisions by eminent sages. Observing that people, in general, were diminished in their lifespan, strength, and intelligence by the influence of time, great sages took inspiration from the personality of Godhead sitting within their hearts and systematically divided the Vedas. O Brahmana, in the present age of Vaivasvata, Manu, the leaders of the universe, led by Brahma and Shiva, requested the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the protector of all the worlds, to save the principles of religion. O most fortunate Shaunaka, the Almighty Lord, exhibiting a divine spark of a portion of his plenary portion, then appeared in the womb of Satyavati as the son of Parasara. In this form, named Krishna Dwaipayana Vyas, he divided the one Veda into four. Srila Vyasadeva separated the mantras of the Rig, Atharva, Yajur, and Samavedas into four divisions, just as one sorts out a mixed collection of jewels into piles. Thus he composed four distinct Vedic literatures. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. One may ask, quote, "The four Vedas were made by Brahma from his four mouths. How can one say that Vyas made the four Vedas?" The answer is, Vyas made the four Vedas into separate piles according to different subjects, just as from a mine one gathers rubies and diamonds and then separates them into different piles by type. He made four Samhitas, Rig, Yajur, Sama, and Atharva. Right, so they're all there, but they're together, because people could study the whole thing. They had the lifespan, they had the intelligence, they had the focus, that they could study the whole Veda, and then from that apply it in their life. The difficulty comes, as you're seeing, at the end of the Dwapara, because of Kali Yuga, people's lifespan, their attention, their focus, all this is reduced. So then he separated them. You know, example given is you have different jewels that are all coming from one place, then you separated them according to their particular category. So, we're good?
Yeah. So now, if somebody is specialized in one Veda, he has the same, the goal of each Veda is the same.
Yes. So each Veda is the same, each verse is the same, each syllable. Like we see is that Jiva Goswami in his I think it's in his commentary. Then he took the first verse of the Bhagavatam and then broke it down by syllable. And through the syllables of that one verse, it explained the Krishna's whole pastimes that he'll perform while present. You know what I'm saying? So it's just that before that volume was the natural volume, and you know, it's just like someone goes out into the world and after a certain amount of time you expect that they'll know something. Right? You know, just by time because of the volume. Now there's individuals who in a much shorter time are able to gain that same understanding, and there's some people that take much longer and never get it. So the whole Veda together would be the natural, what's revealed, that's what people would study.
Yes.
But in Kali Yuga, they don't have that ability, so they'll just take part of it.
Yes.
Right? And even then, they won't figure it out, so that's why then we have Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Like that. Yes.
Right. And we have scholars who are spending their whole life studying just one part of Rig Veda.
Okay.
Still
they can never understand. Yeah. Because so he sees because Brahma, because the devotional, it passes down that way. But if one's not devotional, then that scholarship and all that, you'll know technically things and all that, but you won't actually understand its application.
Yeah.
See, now what will happen is that when we're dealing with, if let us say we understand that it's all about devotion, right? So if it's about devotion, then we're going to interpret all the verses according to devotion. Right? Like just for us, because we know our philosophy, because the Dasamul that given by Lord Chaitanya, we know that Achinta Beta Beta Tattva will be our darshan. That will be the method how we will interpret all verses. Right? So then we're able to understand like that. And so we can accommodate that there's going to be different applications for the same thing in different places. Like you see the Acharyas, like it'll come up in the Sandarbhas that in a lengthy purport where you have many different points you're making, then Jiva Goswami will give one reference, like let's say a Gita verse, and explain it in one way according to the thing. Then when he's explaining the next point, the same verse will come up, and now it'll bring out a different point because he's taking a different aspect of the verse. And so, and even sometimes you see is that, like with Sanatana Goswami, one word will be there and they'll say it means this. He says it can also mean this, or it can mean this. And he'll give sometimes 4, 5, 6 different ways to understand the one word. So, that's because you understand actually the thing in connection with Krishna. Then you can see the variety. But now if all you have is scholarship, for it to work, you have to have certain definitions to a word. And now, when in philosophy, the definition is used in a different way, you're bewildered. Because for you, it must be logical. It has to be logical. So you can't, that's the difficulty, is the academic mentality is they have a specific definition of a word. And they can't use the word outside of that. But because in that word, it's also including, because we have to remember that the word that we know as a noun actually started as a verb. Right? And that verb starts as a concept. Right? That's just how nod sound vibration works. So they can only work on what is coming out of the mouth and a specific definition. But its background on what else it means, that they won't connect.
Yes.
Right? Because that means then there's practical application and all that, and then speculation is not not the focus.
Yes.
Is that?
Maharaj, this will mean that they cannot actually unify knowledge.
No, they can't. That's why they'll come up with, and this is because of the modes, it's like this, and then because of, and then in this, then each will argue with the other. Because if you come up with a philosophy and everyone goes, yeah, okay, cool. You know? And that's accepted. Well, what about this? Yeah, fine. What about that? Yeah, we're good. We're good with the whole thing. Now what do you do the rest of your life? Right? You have nothing to do. Right? So you have to come up with a philosophy then by the modes. If someone else comes up with their philosophy, by the modes. And then you argue your whole lifetime trying to establish and do all those different things.
By the modes.
By the modes.
Yes.
I say, of the modes, by the modes, for the modes. Yes.
Live by the modes, die by the modes.
Sorry?
Live by the modes.
Die yeah, by die by the modes. Yeah, so all these, you know, how you say?
Mahavakyas.
Yes, all these Mahavakyas that all come up. So that's the difficulty, is that, that's why I said, oh, wait, but it just says like that. You know, the dictionary meaning is this, but then there's so many other aspects. So that becomes the difficulty, is we don't understand the context. What we see is that many times when the acharyas, certain groups of words, they'll generally say in the same way, like the six opulences. But sometimes you see they'll give different words. You know, like sometimes it's power, sometimes it's influence. You know, sometimes it's strength. So they're all synonyms, but they all bring out different aspects. So the point is, if six opulences are the basis, that means all these different aspects are coming from those six. So that's the difficulty. But we'll see it in one way. No, it means this. But then you're saying something else. And then we'll think there's a contradiction. And then we're judging the acharyas, whether it's right or not. Or, rather than adjusting our thinking to how they're presenting.
Something similar, like the difference between a bureaucrat and a vijaya.
Yes, 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 yes. Because the bureaucrat, it has to be this, just the rule. That's all they have. But then leadership, then you can see what's the goal and then make a decision. Okay. So it's, yeah, very much. So it's the same problem. It's just like you could say the middle manager can be engaged in the economic process, but he can't produce economics because he can't think like the businessman thinks. Because he only knows the rules. Well, he doesn't actually understand the principles. So that's always going to be the difference. So they have to fight. Then, otherwise, then what's the point? Why be a scholar if you're not going to argue with somebody? Right?
Yes.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Oh no, we said that. We just did that. Sudha Goswami continued, the most powerful and intelligent Vyasadeva called four of his disciples, O Brahmana, and entrusted to each of them one of these four samhitas. Srila Vyasa taught the first samhita, the Rig, to Pila, and gave this collection the name Bhavricha. Wow. To the sage Vaishampayana, he spoke the collection of Yajur mantras named Nigada. He taught the Sama Veda mantras, designated as the Chandoga Samhita, to Jaimini. And he spoke the Atharva Veda to his dear disciple, Sumantu. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Bhavricha, having many verses, was the name of the Rig Samhita. Yajurveda was called Nigada because it is constantly Nitaram recited Gada. Sudha Goswami continued. After dividing his Samhita into two parts, the wise Pila spoke it to Indra Pramiti and Bhaskala. Bhaskala further divided his collection into four parts. O Bhargava, and instructed, okay, Bhargava is Shonaka Rishi, yes. And instructed them to his disciples, Bodhya, Yajnavalkya, Parasara, and Agnimitra. Indra Pramiti, the self-controlled sage, taught his samhita to the learned mystic Mandukaya, whose disciple Deva Mitra later passed down the divisions of the Rig Veda to Saubari and others. The son of Mandukaya, named Shakalya, divided his own collection into five, entrusting one subdivision each to Vatsya, Mudgala, Saliya, Gokalya, and Shishira. The sage Jatukarnya was also a disciple of Shakalya. it's so interesting that before we wait till it gets at a distance, and now we wait until it crosses into the wall and then start talking as it passes. And after dividing this, whose disciple is Sakalya, and after dividing the Sapita Samhita, he received from Sakalya into three parts, he added a fourth section, a Vedic glossary. He taught one of these parts to each of his four disciples, Balaka, the second Pila, Jabala, and Viraja. Bhaskala assembled the Valakilya Samhita, a collection from all the branches of the Rig Veda. This collection was received by Valayani, Bhajya, and Kashara. Thus, these various samhitas of the Rig Veda were maintained through disciplic succession by these saintly brahmanas. Simply by hearing of this distribution of the Vedic hymns, one will be freed from all sins. Right? So, I think these are what you call the recessions, that you have different recessions of the Veda. And so, you have all the different aspects, and depending upon the grammar and that, there might be some difference in pronunciation, because you have a variety of options of what you can do. Certain things that's just standard rules for everybody. But there's certain things that are options you can do or not. So someone may accept one option, not another, or accept, like, you know, so the different combinations. Plus then you have different parts, aspects of the Veda and all this. And so in this way you end up with so many recessions. Like that. I'm not sure how many we've come up with here, but like in 20, 30 or something is like that. Yajurveda, I think, has more. Samaveda had the most, 1,000 recessions. Atharvaveda didn't have so many. But of all that, then Jiva Goswami, and I think in Tattvasandarbha, mentions that there's 6% of those recessions left.
Yes.
Right? The main Samhita you have, but the recessions from those and how they were divided up and then the particular compilations done with that, then most of that is all lost. Suta Goswami continued. The disciples of Vaishampayana became authorities in the Atharva Veda. So that's what he... Yajurveda, okay, he gave, but these were the disciples of Vaishampayana, became authorities in the Atharva Veda. They were known as the Charakas, because they executed strict vows to free their guru from his sin of killing a Brahmin. Right? So, okay, so it looks like they... Okay, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, now the appearance of the Taittiriya branch of the Yajurveda is described. The derivation of the name Charaka is given on behalf of their guru. They performed chara, vows to destroy the effects of sin of killing a brahmana, that should have been undertaken by their guru. They were Advaryu priests, expert in Yajurveda. Right? But then what they're using is probably, because they said Atharva Veda, so either they're taking Atharva, meaning the whole thing, or they're meaning those sections, the miscellaneous, because that will deal with all these kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Once Yajñavalkya, one of the disciples of Vaishampayana, said, O Master, how much benefit will be derived from the feeble endeavors of these weak disciples of yours? I will personally perform some outstanding penance. Addressed thus, the spiritual master Vaishampayana became angry and said, Go away from here, enough of you, O disciple who insults brahmanas. Furthermore, you must immediately give back everything I have taught you.
How can you do that?
They have a process. Right, so then they've done all these things with the strict vows, and then Yajñavalkya said, What's the use of all this? I'll do something very outstanding. Because he's thinking what they're doing is not enough. Like that. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. He became angry because Yajñavalkya had spoken out of pride. You criticize brahmanas who are humble as being weak. Go away. What is the use of a disciple like you? Yes, I will go. When he was leaving, the guru said, Give back the knowledge I have taught you. Suta Goswami continued. Yajñavalkya, the son of Devarata, then vomited the mantras of the Yajurveda and went away from there. The assembled disciples, looking greedily upon these Yajur hymns, right, because each of them got different sections. So he had one section, so all the other disciples, then they're thinking, I want those mantras, you know, because they got different mantras.
Yeah.
Then they became partridges and received those verses. Therefore, the Samhita is called Taittiriya, coming from partridges. Like the Taittiriya Upanishad, the Taittiriya Shakas and all that, or like that. So you have the, yeah. Taittiriya. And you have now, you have Taittiriya Shaka and you have Shukla. So you have Taittiriya Upanishad, the method, and you have the Shukla. And they're different, how they're chanted and everything like that. Śrīla Gosvāmī continued, Yajñavalkya, he's saying again, okay. Yajñavalkya, the son of Devavrata, then vomited the mantras of the Yajurveda and went away from there. The assembled disciples, looking greedily upon these hymns, assumed the form of partridges and picked them all up. These divisions of the Yajurveda therefore became known as the most beautiful Taittiriya Samhita, the hymns collected by partridges. Taittiriya is one of the nicest sections of the Veda to hear. You know, it's that, like what we chant and all that. That's all Taittiriya, like that. It's very how you say, melodic, you could say. And in South, it's one of the main ones that is used. These others may be very technical, but most prefer this Taittiriya line. Right.
But despite what his attitude, they were greedy to accept that.
Well, they were the knowledge from the teacher.
Yeah, it's pretty gross how they got it.
Yeah, they became birds. Birds pick up things off the ground. What do you care?
Yeah, we're talking about the Vedas. Some people do.
Then we're talking about that means, and what does that mean? They vomit up the Veda.
I don't want to.
Yeah, so the point is that you're talking on a subtle platform here.
I was talking about his attitude. Yajñavalkya.
They were greedy.
Also.
But to get knowledge.
And he was proud of his...
See, here. Yes. See, is that we're applying the particular concept of morality that we've gained. And so, but we're talking about the Veda here. You know, the Veda is eternal. It's Apurusheya. So it's just a matter of now it's available. Because it was given to the different disciples. And now it's available. So now they all want it. Right? So then they're coming to take it. So the particular angle of morality that we may have doesn't necessarily apply to this application. Because it's slightly different. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's not like it's not like what we're thinking. That's the problem. We're dealing on some different level here. And so then, yeah.
What happened to Yajñavalkya?
I think it says that it'll go on to... Right now we're just stuck on the partridges. Taittiriya birds or something like that. Taittiriya. Like that. And so then that becomes the Taittiriya Upanishad. Okay. Śrīla Viśvanātha Cakravarti Thakura explains your doubt. Since it was improper for Brahmanas to take something which was vomited, they became partridges and received those verses. Therefore, the Samhita is called Taittiriya, coming from partridges. So it works. Śrīla Gosvāmī continued, My dear Brahmana Shonaka, Yajñavalkya then desired to find out new Yajur mantras unknown to even a spiritual master. With this in mind, he offered attentive worship to the powerful Lord of the Sun. Right, you know, so it's a bit like what is that, Dhruva Maharaj? Right, he wanted something that even his father didn't have. Right, yeah. So all these things is from this. It's these the modes and all that are working. Then that's always a problem. But at the same time, as we see, is that there's some arrangement by the Lord. So you have some amazing kind of pastimes and how things work.
Yes.
Right? So it all works out, because the Lord's controlling all the things, so it comes out nice.
Right? But we cannot compare with our life.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Sri Yajnavalkya said, I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing as the sun. You are present as the controller of the four kinds of living entities, beginning from Brahma and extending down to blades of grasses, right? The four kinds of the, whether they come from the embryo, from eggs, from sweat, or from, you know, slips and seeds. Just as the sky is present both inside and outside every living being, you exist both within the hearts of all as the supersoul and externally in the form of time. Just as the sky cannot be covered by the clouds present within it, you are never covered by any false material designation. By the flow of years, which are made up of the tiny fragments of time called kshanas, lavas, and nimishas, you alone maintain this world, drying up the waters and giving them back as rain. Right? So the sun, it takes the water, then it comes back as rain, because by the influence of the sun, then you get clouds, and then from that, then you get the rain, then it like this. And so kshanas and lavas are, I think, are finer divisions of nimishas. Right? Nimisha is 1/11 of a second, that's the smallest amount of time you can perceive.
Yes.
Is that something? Yes. It says now that
lava matra
Okay, so even love is even less. Okay. Oh, glowing one, O powerful Lord of the Sun, you are the chief of all the demigods. I meditate with careful attention on your fiery globe, because for those who offer prayers to you three times daily according to the Vedic method, passed down through authorized disciplic succession, you burn away all sinful activities. All consequent suffering, and even the original seed of desire, right? So if you're meditating upon the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that will go. If it's just the sun as a demigod, then you won't get rid of the seed, right? You are personally present as the indwelling Lord in the hearts of all moving and non-moving beings who depend completely on your shelter. Indeed, you animate their material mind, senses, and vital airs to act. The world has been seized and swallowed by the python of darkness in its horrible mouth and has become unconscious, as if dead. But mercifully glancing upon the sleeping people of the world, you raise them up with the gift of sight. Thus you are most magnanimous. Remember, of course, that super soul, he sees. He saw. So he gives that to the living entities, but he's the one seeing.
Yes.
Right. Thus you are most magnanimous. At the three sacred junctures of each day, you engage the pious in the path of ultimate good, inducing them to perform religious duties that situate them in their spiritual position. Just like an earthly king, you travel about everywhere spreading fear among the unholy as the powerful deities of the directions offer you in their folded palms lotus flowers and other respectful presentations. Therefore, my Lord, I am prayerfully approaching your lotus feet, which are honored by the spiritual masters of the three worlds, because I hope to receive from you mantras of the Ajurveda unknown to anyone else. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's devotional service, it's that, but it has that fruit of aspect that he wants.
Yes.
He wants a particular result.
Yes.
Right? So it has that, that's the point. Now, whether having gotten those, getting these mantras, he continues with the devotion, that will then establish him as a devotee. But if not, it just means he's an intelligent human being, that he knows the Supreme Lord's in control of everything, and then getting what he wanted, then he'll continue on with the particular karmas that he does. But the devotional aspect will be stopped. Does that make sense? So it's not an uncommon thing that you may see people that are both devotees and not devotees then offering, having good realization about the Lord. But if they only take it as far as the result that they want. So for the devotee, then there is no end. It comes to prema and then continues from there. But for the non-devotees, then it'll continue up to the point of receiving the specifics of their desire from the Lord, and having gained that, then they'll stop the devotion. And now if you see is that one continues that devotion to the Lord but still has other desires, that's mixed devotional service. But by the process of continuing, because one's always dealing with the Lord, the heart becomes purified until it, like he says, even the original sin seed of desire will go away, and there'll only be left pure devotion.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yajnavalkya is praying to the sun god, but he's praying to Krishna.
Yes. And because Surya Narayan is actually what makes it work. Right? Because we see is that then within that they're going to be it'll be explained later. The 12 Adityas, they sit for 1 month as the sun god and perform all the duties. So each time that there's a Sankranti, like today, then because Makara Sankranti today, it changes. So now someone else will sit. And then they'll be for 1 month, and then the next Sankranti, the next Aditya will sit. And then, like that, the 12 Adityas, they're all the sun god. That's how you have the Parsis then worshipping Varuna as the sun god. You know, and from there, then all the things connect with him, because he also controls the demons, because they take shelter in the ocean. So then they'll have that look. Because of the demons, and because of the demons, then they'll take it that they're the things, the demigods are the enemies, so the demons are the good guys, and you know, because somehow that comes from that connection with Varuna, that they're worshippers of the sun.
Yes.
Like that. Yes. Does that make sense? Yes. So it's designed so that everybody can get something.
Yes.
It's just that you may end up with something a little strange.
Well, actually, also sounds very much like a commentary on Brahma Gayatri, all these prayers.
On the Brahma Gayatri, yes. Yes. So is that? Yeah.
Yeah. Even Vedanta Sutra is trying that the person within the sun is Brahman.
Yes, the person within Brahman, the sun is Brahman. Yes, yes.
The same person.
Yeah. Same. You were saying?
Oh, it's okay. I couldn't hear, but now I understand.
Yes. Okay. So it's yes. Yes. Sutta Goswami said, satisfied by such glorification, right? So we're going to hear about this detail.
Yes.
Right? So other aspects in his life we may not hear about. We'll hear about the ones that are connected to Krishna.
Yes.
Just like with Daksha. We don't hear about anything else other than when it connects with Krishna.
Yes.
Right? So the Hamsa Guya prayers, then they're bona fide because it's connected to Krishna. What he does the rest of the time, we don't even hear about. We're not interested. Right? Like that. Or the other, because it's connected with Lord Shiva, you know, and the Vaishnavs. So then we hear about that pastime. And then Krishna has to come and straighten everything out. You know, so, yeah. Sutta Goswami said, satisfied by such glorification, the powerful sun god assumed the form of a horse and presented to the sage Yajnavalkya Yajra mantras previously unknown in human society. Right, as they come down, certain ones are there. Brahma knows, they may know up there, but it hasn't come down to here, to this level. From these countless hundreds of mantras of the Yajurveda, the powerful sage compiled 15 new branches of Vedic literature. These became known as the Vajrasanaya Samhita, because they were produced from the hairs of the horse's mane. And they were accepted in the succession by the followers of Kanva, Madhyadina, and other rishis. Because you also hear the Madhyadina, Shaka, and all this. So there's all these Kanva and that. So depending upon that, then how they're pronounced and everything. Or which parts are there. Because in one Shaka, there'll be some verses there. And in another Shaka, they're not there. So when they perform their yajnas, they'll use certain verses and not others. While the other one will use different verses. Like that. Footnote 8. Vriti, Yajnavalkya's work is widely accepted and is sometimes referred to along with Manu's work.
Mm-hmm.
He also became the teacher of Maharaj Pariksit's grandson, Satanika, who also learned the military arts from Kripacharya. Okay. Yamaraj instructed his messengers, because they are bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yajnavalkya and Jaimini and other compilers of the religious scriptures cannot know the secret, confidential religious system of the 12 Mahajanas. Right, so even though this comes down, because we would say, well, why would they get it? But the point is if they have to be as pure as as the liberated souls to function here, why do they need to come here?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the point is they're functioning within the sphere of the material in connection with. So it's that, like, it's kind of on the edge. And so all these great, wonderful things are revealed through all these personalities. But that's not the great thing. You know, we have to understand that that's not the specialty. The specialness is what's the actual purpose and meaning of the Veda. That's what's special. So as we see, he's getting to that. But he's coming closer. So the point is that understanding the transcendental interpretation of the Veda, that's the real point. Just knowing the Veda, even though it's very elevated and very technical, that's not actually the ultimate purpose of human life. It's to know Krishna and to go back to Godhead.
That's why Krishna says, Vedanta Krit Veda Vit, I'm the,
yes,
and the knower.
He's the, yeah, he's the compiler, he's the knower, he's the purpose. Yes.
In Mahabharata, Yamaraj says to Yudhishthira Maharaj, if you want to know actual Dharma, one has to go through 12 Mahajans.
Yes, you have to go through the Mahajans. You can't know other than through the Mahajans. So that's why the succession, you have to hear through there. Otherwise, you cannot know. Because the intellect and all this, the modes of nature, will get in the way. That's just the way it's designed. We can, in other words, you cannot beat the system. You can surrender to Krishna. That's how you beat the system, because you step out of the system. But within the system, you can't, because it's Krishna's energy. Krishna's Daivi Maya. She'll always win. Right? House always wins. Right? She is the house. Right? So you have the gambling. She is the guy at the table. And when you start to win and think you're going good, she's also the lady that comes up and starts to say, ooh, like that. And so then when you should stop, you don't. Right? Because the intelligent man, he's got a good run, and then when he starts to notice it, right, then he stops at that point. Because if passion continues, he will lose. House always wins.
Intelligent men don't gamble.
Sorry?
Intelligent men don't gamble.
Of course. But intelligent men aren't in the material world. But, you know, how you say? We're the winners. Okay. Yeah, so... Yamaraj instructed his messengers. Okay. They cannot understand the transcendental value of performing devotional service or chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, because their minds are attracted to the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas, especially the Yajurveda, Samaveda, and Rigveda. Right? Not as much the Atharva, but mainly these. Their intelligence has become dull. Right? Doesn't mean that they're not intelligent on the material platform. It just means that it's become dull to understanding transcendence. Thus, they are busy collecting the ingredients for ritualistic ceremonies that yield only temporary benefits. Right? So on this platform of understanding these rules and that, then these personalities may be considered very authoritative. Like when it comes to the Tatparyalingas, then that's defined by Jaimini. We use that. But we don't use his philosophy. Just this aspect, he's put his intelligence, and Krishna's revealed through him. Yajnavalkya, then his smriti that he gave on Dharma and all that, then that we also accept as one of our main ones. So Manu's the main, supported by Yajnavalkya and Parasara. So, you know, but they'll be seen in context of Manu. And that will be seen, that will be see that in the context of Bhagavatam. Like that. They are busy collecting the ingredients for ritualistic ceremonies that yield only temporary benefits, such as elevation to Swarga Loka for material happiness. They are not attracted to the Sankirtan movement. Instead, they are interested in Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.25. Footnote 9. Vritti. One may wonder how it is possible Yajnavalkya so insolently transgressed the instructions of a spiritual master, and yet was able to successfully approach the Supreme Lord directly and receive authorized Vedic mantras. It is revealed here by Yamaraj that personalities like Yajnavalkya, although quite eligible to convey transcendental knowledge, are too attached to the knowledge aspect and fail to take advantage of the process of bhakti. Thus, although the instructions given in the Vedas by Yajnavalkya are meant to lead one to the Supreme Lord, unless one accepts a bona fide spiritual master, one will not be able to attain the spiritual world. Narottam Das Thakur, therefore, sings Charya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Payeche Keva. Unless one becomes a servant of a pure devotee, one cannot be delivered from the material condition of life. So they're so close. They're there, they're hearing from the Lord, they're worshiping the Lord, but they're not interested in pure devotion. Not that they couldn't be, but they're not. And because of that, we don't call it as pure devotion. Does that make sense? Because that's how they're functioning. So they're defined by how they're functioning. Right? Just like a neophyte devotee is defined in that way because that's how they're acting. Not that the potential is not there to become a pure devotee, but at this point they're not. When they act like a pure devotee, then they'll be defined as a pure devotee. So, okay. Yes. Vritti. The branches of the Samaveda are now described. Sardartha Darshani 12.6.75. Sudha Goswami said, Jaimini Rishi, the authority of the Samaveda, had a son named Sumantu, and the son of Sumantu was Sutvan. The sage Jaimini spoke to each of them a different part of the Samaveda Samhita. Sukarma, another disciple of Jaimini, was a great scholar. He divided the mighty tree of the Samaveda into 1,000 Samhitas. Then, O Brahmana, three disciples of Sukarma Hiranyagarbha, the son of Kushala, Hiranyagarbha, the son of Kushala, Pushyanji, and Avyantya, who was very advanced in spiritual realization, took charge of the Sama mantras. When you do the dash, you're going to use this kind. Use the bigger dash. Sometimes if you do double, it'll go into one. Or sometimes you have to stand on your head and jump up and down, pat your head, rub your stomach at the same time. There's all technically different ways to. Because the short one, then it looked like it's a combination word. Sorry. But. The 500 disciples of Pushyanji and Avantya became known as the northern singers of the Samaveda. And in latter times, some of them also became known as eastern singers. Right? Because Bengal is also Samavedis. It's, I think, 90% Samavedis, the Brahmins here. So they have one way of singing. And in north, another way. And in south, and you'll see, different again. Five other disciples of Pushyanji, namely Lo Gakshi, Mangali, Kulya, Kushida, and Kukshi, each received 100 Samhitas. Krita, the disciple of Hiranyanabha, spoke 24 Samhitas to his own disciples, and the remaining collections were passed down by the self-realized sage of Yantya. Conclusion. Giving up materialism, one should offer one's love exclusively to the absolute truth and embrace that highest truth in fixed meditation. Avoiding identification with the material body, one should not create enmity with anyone. Those who desire to give up all that is not essentially real move systematically by negative discrimination of the extraneous to the supreme position of Lord Vishnu. Right? So you're using the process of jnana, but you're getting to bhakti, right? So that's why it's called jnana, yoga. Right? If it's without, then it's just jnana. Such devotees come to understand the supreme transcendental situation of the personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, because they are no longer polluted by the concepts of I and mind, which are based on body and home. Right? So as devotees, they'll come to that position. So only devotees would use it that way. Others will just practice jnana, the materialists. But the devotees, it'll be jnana, yoga. So by karma, one gets knowledge and detachment. Continuing to apply that, then one starts to cut off all which is extraneous to the benefit of the living entity. Right? And develops love for Krishna. This way, 2 pages. Right? Chapter 7, the Puranic literatures. Because he's answering that one question. So that was the Vedic part, and now we're getting into the other. Pratigya. Out of ignorance, the living being performs material activities, and thereby becomes in one sense the cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe. Because in one sense, because the universe goes on the way it does, because we're performing the karmas that need to get results. So that keeps it going. Right, so you can say in one way we're the cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction. But the point is that's being controlled by everyone else. And it's not exactly the way we would like it to go. So one shouldn't try to be proud as, yes, I'm in control of this. So you're in control of all the bad luck that you get. Like that. You have to say yes. Adhyaya Prakashika. In this chapter, Sri Suta Goswami describes the expansion of the branches of the Atharva Veda, enumerates the compilers of the Puranas, and explains the characteristics of a Purana. He then lists the 18 major Puranas and finishes his account by stating that any person who hears about these matters from someone in a proper disciplic succession will acquire spiritual potency. That is an idea of the Kashyapa. Sloka Anusharanam. Summary of verses 1 to 10. Division of the Vedas continued. The 10 topics of Srimad, 11 to 21, the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, and 22 to 25, major and minor Puranas. Verses 1 to 10. Division of the Vedas continued. Suta Goswami said, Sumanta Rishi, the authority on the Atharva Veda, taught his Samhita to his disciple Kabanda, who in turn spoke it to Patya and Veda Darsha. Shaulayani, Brahma Bali, Modasho, Pipalayana were disciples of Veda Darsha. Hear from me also the names of the disciples of Patya. My dear Brahma, they were Kumuda, Shunaka, and Jajali, all of whom knew the Atharva Veda very well. Babru and Saindhavayana, disciples of Shunaka, studied the two divisions of the spiritual master's compilation of the Atharva Veda. Saindhavayana's disciple Suvarna and disciples of other great sages also studied this edition of the Atharva Veda. Nakshatra Kalpa, Shanti Kalpa, Kasyapa, Angirasa, and others were also among the acharyas of the Atharva Veda. Now, O sage, listen as I name the authorities on the Puranic literature. Trayaruni, Kasyapa, Savarani, Akrita Varana, Vaishampayana, and Harita are the six masters of the Puranas. Each of them studied one of the six anthologies of the Puranas from my father, Ramaharshana, who is a disciple of Srila Vyasadeva. Footnote 10. This is the same Ramaharshana that Lord Balaram killed. Right? Because Suta Goswami becomes the speaker because his father was killed. Otherwise, he was the speaker of the Puranas, but we see as Suta is the one who is speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. But you'll see in all the literatures, when it says who's speaking, it's always Suta. You know, so whether it's Ramaharshana Suta or Ugrashava Suta, but it's always you know, one of the two of them are speaking. I became the disciple of these six authorities and thoroughly learned all their presentations of Puranic wisdom. Romaharshana, a disciple of Vyasadeva, divided the Puranas into four basic compilations. The sage Kasyapa and I, along with Savarani and Akrita Varana, a disciple of Rama, learned these four divisions. O Shaunaka, please hear with attention the characteristics of a Purana, which have been defined by the most eminent learned Brahmanas in accordance with Vedic literature. O Brahmana, authorities on the matter understand a Purana to contain 10 characteristic topics. The creation of this universe, the subsequent creation of worlds and beings, the maintenance of all living beings, their sustenance, the rule of various Manus, the dynasties of great kings, the activities of such kings, annihilation, motivation, and the supreme shelter. Other scholars state that the great Puranas deal with these 10 topics, while lesser Puranas may deal with 5. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, the characteristics of a minor Purana are as follows. Sargas cha, prati sargas cha, vamsho manvantarani cha, vamsanu charitam cheti, puranam panchalakshanam. Creation, secondary creation, the dynasties of kings, the reigns of Manus, and the activities of various dynasties are the 5 characteristics of a Purana. So you see it's there, but they leave out about the, what do you call it? Maintenance, sustenance, motivation, supreme shelter. And so they leave these things out. But these 5 will be there. When a Purana has the 10 characteristics, it is called a major Purana. And when it has only 5 characteristics, it is called a minor Purana.
When you say the 18 Purana, like they are,
then I know if they're major. But there's more Puranas.
Yes. Okay.
The BBT purport states, the 10 subjects of a great major Purana are also described in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. 2.10.1 Sri Suku Vacha Atra Sargo Visargas Cha Stanam Poshanam Utaya Manvantare Shanu Kata Nirodha Mukti Rashraya. Sri Suta Goswami said, in the Srimad Bhagavatam there are 10 divisions of statements regarding the following: creation of the universe, subcreation, planetary systems, protection by the Lord, the creative impetus, the change of Manus, the science of God, returning home back to Godhead, liberation, and the Summum Bonum. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained that the 10 principal topics of Srimad Bhagavatam are found within each of the 12 cantos. One should not try to assign each of the 10 topics to a particular canto. Nor should the Srimad Bhagavatam be artificially interpreted to show that it deals with the topic successively. Right? Because people will try to do these things. You know, because it's nice intellectual thought. You may see some patterns because something's there, but in each Purana you also see all the other aspects.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
So when it mentions that one particular canto is aimed at a particular, like say sargo or visargo, that means majorly that, and then minorly you may have the other 9 topics also.
No, it just means don't try to assign it like that.
Mm-hmm.
It may have a major theme, but that doesn't mean that this canto deals with that and others don't, or that canto doesn't deal with other things. You know, it may have a major theme of that, but that's not the point. So this kind of categorization, then people will miss the point. Right. The simple fact is that all aspects of knowledge important to human beings, summarized in the 10 categories mentioned above, are described with various degrees of emphasis and analysis throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. So some area may they analyze more or to various degrees than another part, but it's just to bring one to Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? Yeah. verses 11 to 21.
There is a note, you know, which is, there is no reference. Just only a,
no, from the previous retreat.
Oh. Prabhupada. Okay. Yes. So from that previous one, yeah. Yes. Okay. So your name is Romaharshana. Romaharshana was a great learned scholar for explaining Vedic literature. But once upon a time, he committed some offense. In a great meeting, he was speaking about Vedic hymns and Balaram. He entered that sacrificial arena. So all the sages and brahmanas and everyone stood up. This Romaharshana did not. So Balaram punished him, killed him. But although he was killed, but he got salvation and he was recognized. So in other words, don't commit offense to him. Verses 11 to 21, the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. Suta Goswami continued. From the agitation of the original modes within the unmanifest material nature, the Mahatattva arises. From the Mahatattva comes the element false ego, which divides into three aspects. This false ego further manifests as the subtle forms of perception, as the senses, as the gross sense objects. The generation of all these is called creation, sarga, right? Because that's all the preliminary, with that in place. The secondary creation, visarga, which exists by the mercy of the Lord, is the manifest amalgamation of the desires of the living entities, right? So that's what makes the difference. We said Brahma's creation, but what Brahma is doing is creating the facilities for the amount about the totality of all the desires of the living entities to be filled at one time. Right? Because somebody needs to be in Swarga, somebody here on earth, someone in hell, you know, like that. So all the different things, different species, different arrangements. So all that, because they have those desires, the secondary creation is to fulfill that. That's actually the point. Because otherwise we'll say it's Brahma's creation. But that doesn't really explain why it's there. The primary is, that's the basis of that material life, material consciousness. Then, according to who wants what, from that, that's the secondary creation. So, yeah. Just as a seed produces additional seeds, activities that promote material desires in the performer produce moving and non-moving life forms. Right, so whatever desire is there, it's going to produce a life form to express that. Right? Vritti means the process of sustenance. So we'll stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Natai Gaura Premanandi.
Thursday for now?
Yes.
Hare Krishna. Just an announcement, there will be no classes on Thursday. No morning, evening. And Friday we'll let you know.